We're on the record. I'm Sheila Cast. Good morning. Many people rely on DNA testing to identify mutations or predict their risk of developing or passing on serious disorders. And at-home DNA kits like 23andMe, MyHeritage, or Ancestry have spurred many amateur genealogists into action. Jennifer Mendelson is using genealogy as her powerful investigative tool to help Holocaust survivors piece together families and make sense of their past. Her latest endeavor is called the DNA Reunion Project at the Center for Jewish History. She'll be talking about it on Sunday afternoon at the Bolton Street Synagogue. Mendelson serves on the board of the Jewish Genealogy Society of Maryland and is the administrator of the Jewish Genetic Genealogy group on Facebook that has more than 10,000 members worldwide. She joins us by Zoom. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you so much.
You co-founded the DNA Reunion Project at the Center for Jewish History with Dr. Adina Newman. How did the idea for this collaboration come about?
It just sort of unfolded organically. Many years ago, sort of accidentally made this incredible discovery in my own family. My husband's 95-year-old grandmother was a Holocaust survivor, and a sort of offhand remark she made to me one day led me down the rabbit hole of researching her family. And we were absolutely stunned to learn at 95, after she had lost her entire immediate family and about 99% of her extended family, that she actually had three living first cousins in the US that she did not know about, and they did not know about her. Wow. So that sort of set me on the path to realizing that these reunions are still possible. And I got deeper and deeper involved in genealogy. And then I began to work with genetic genealogy and realized what an incredible tool it can be, and especially what an incredible tool it could be for this community in particular. And Adina was sort of doing separate but similar work. And we just sort of We both came to the idea independently and then had a conversation about it and was like, oh my God, we need to make this happen. There should be a program that does this. And we reached out to the Center for Jewish History, and amazingly, they were like immediately amenable. And we got it started, and we launched officially on Giving Tuesday in November.
Well, how does the DNA Reunion Project work? Is there a separate DNA bank specifically for this project?
No, that's actually the most common question that we get. The power of DNA testing is in the other matches, meaning you get the most out of DNA by connecting with other people. So having a private database just of survivors' DNA would be a very, very limited use. We are leveraging the power of the commercial databases because they are huge. Ancestry has more than 21 million testers in its database. So we are offering people free kits to test at Ancestry, and then hopefully using the matches in that database to help them.
So can someone who already has taken a DNA test participate?
Not in any formal way. What we are offering those people is the opportunity to connect with us. And Adina and I will be doing lots of educational programming, just sort of teaching people how do you use DNA for genealogy. And I should add that there are complications with Jewish genetic genealogy because of the specific nature of Ashkenazi Jewish DNA. It can be a lot more confusing to work with. So we're hoping to give people tools to get over those hurdles as well.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that. Why is Ashkenazi Jewish genealogy so difficult to work with?
Well, it's two-pronged. So, you know, in genealogy, we talk about traditional paper trail genealogy. You know, you find your family by looking through records in dusty archives, et cetera, et cetera. And with genetic genealogy, you use commercial DNA testing, and you use the results to help people answer questions about their family tree. Well, I like to joke that doing this for Jewish people is like that old saying about Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. You know, she did everything he did, but backwards and in high heels, because the paper genealogy is a lot more difficult for Ashkenazi Jews. One of the myths that we'd love to dispel is that there's this pervasive and pernicious myth that the Nazis destroyed all the records in the Holocaust. Not true. The records exist. They're just much more difficult to access. And you know, you really need to know where you're looking and how to look. And it's just very complicated. Jews also, Ashkenazi Jews in most parts of Eastern Europe, did not have last names until roughly 1800 or so, give or take. It varies by location. So, you know, if you're British, say, you know, you can probably hop on Ancestry in the course of an afternoon, you know, take yourself back to like the 1600s. We can't do that because we get to the point where there are no paper records and we don't have last names. So it's much more complicated. On the DNA side, Ashkenazi Jews are what's called an endogamous population. It means that in practical terms, we come from a very small founder population. And those people, because of our religious tradition, their descendants married other Jews for generations and generations and generations. So way, way, way back, we all have common ancestry. And it means that when you take a DNA test, it appears that you are distantly related to everyone. It's not uncommon, for instance, I think I have 186,000 matches at Ancestry DNA, and people still see that and they're like, what is going on? You know, how on earth do I make sense of this? So, you know, but there are ways to get around that. And we do that all the time. So we're trying to teach people those methods and how not to get tripped up thinking that everybody on your list is a meaningful relative that you should be able to figure out how you're related to.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with genealogist Jennifer Mendelsohn. We're talking about the DNA Reunion Project at the Center for Jewish History, which she co-founded with Dr. Adina Newman. The intent is to use DNA testing as a tool to help Holocaust survivors find relatives. There's an extraordinary story about a man in the UK, Jackie Young, with whom you've worked. Briefly, tell us his story and how you found out about him.
Jackie's story is simply extraordinary, as so many of these stories are. Jackie grew up in the UK. I believe he knew he was adopted as a child, but it wasn't until he went to get married in his early 20s that he found out the unbelievable circumstances of his adoption. He, in the UK, you have to get married in a synagogue, you need sort of proof of your Jewishness. So he needed his birth certificate. And when he finally got his hands on his original birth certificate, his parents told him the unbelievable truth, which is that Jackie was an orphaned Holocaust survivor who had spent the first 3 years of his life in Theresienstadt concentration camp. He had actually been born in Vienna. His single mother had been murdered, and he was put in an orphanage, and then all the children in the orphanage were brought to Theresienstadt. He has absolutely no memory of that episode in his life, mercifully. But of course, you know, learning this when you're 22 can be quite traumatic. And the birth certificate from Vienna did have his mother's name on it. So he was able to learn a little bit about his maternal lineage, but there was no father listed. And he searched quite literally for decades to try to find anything about his biological father. Jackie crossed our radar because last year he actually appeared on a television show in Britain called DNA Family Secrets. And they sort of started the process for him of using DNA to identify his father, but they sort of couldn't quite close all the loops and really identify his father for him. They did find some more distant paternal relatives for him. Well, Adina and I read about this and we were like, we should give this a shot. So we reached out to Jackie and we said, would you be willing to let us, you know, take a look at your results and see if we can help you? And he said, sure. And in under a week, we had a really good lead on who we thought his father was. And it took reaching out to a total stranger in St. Louis, who turns out to be the only person in the US who could have done this for us. And we said, we know this is crazy. Let us tell you this story, but we have this man and we believe your first cousin's once removed. We think you're his closest living relative. Your DNA test would confirm who his father was and bring this 81-year-old man peace. Would you be willing to take it? And he said, absolutely. And we confirmed it. And we were able to identify Jackie's father. We found out that Jackie had a half-brother, an older half-brother from his father's first marriage, who also unfortunately was murdered at Auschwitz. We discovered that Jackie's biological parents, sadly, were not together at the time. They had separated, but they were both on the same transport that took them to their deaths in Belarus, sadly. And we were able to map out the neighborhood in Vienna. They were neighbors to one another. So it gave Jackie a lot of peace of mind. And now we've connected him to this first cousin in St. Louis. He has another, first cousin once removed, another first cousin once removed, two of them in France that he's met, and it has completely changed his life.
Yeah, one of the things that touched me most was reading that until DNA testing, he worried that the reason he had survived as a toddler at Theresienstadt was that maybe his father was a Nazi.
And yes, it's heartbreaking that he had to live with that guilt, and DNA answered that in 2 seconds. You know, you get the results of the test and it's very clear that his father was Jewish, but then it's a little not so clear who his father was. You know, you have to sort of work the puzzle of the results to arrive at that answer.
What will happen at the event Sunday at 2 p.m. at Bolton Street Synagogue?
Well, I'm just hoping to sort of share the work that we're doing. I will present some case studies, including Jackie's and Sarit's, talking about, you know, why we do this work, how we do this work, why it's important. We're hoping to, you know, possibly reach survivors in our community who might not be aware that we're doing this and that they can sign up on our website and get a free test if they're interested. I want to be available, you know, to answer any questions people have about the process, how it works, and just sort of tell people. You know, I joke all the time that I've become this incredible evangelist. I see so much potential for healing in what these tests can do for people that I just want to make sure that people know that this is possible.
Well, yeah, this is enormously time-consuming investigatory work on your part. What do you personally get out of it?
That's really hard to say. It's satisfying in a way that I can't even explain. I come at it from a personal perspective. As I said, my husband's grandparents were survivors. My mother-in-law and her brother were born during the war when they were doing forced labor, you know, in a remote area of the former Soviet Union. I know these stories intimately. I lost scores of members of my family in the Holocaust, and knowing, you know, I tell people a lot that sometimes it's not these big dramatic victories of reuniting long lost relatives. Yes, that's possible. And yes, we hope in this project to be doing more and more of those. But sometimes it's as simple as one day I was doing research on my own family, and my grandfather's had a whole family of his aunt, uncle, and first cousins all wiped out. And, you know, I found all of their birth records, and I found the marriage record of my cousin, you know, a young woman in her 20s getting married in Łódź, Poland in the 30s. And there was something incredibly moving and powerful about having that document and restoring to her just a little bit of her humanity to, you know, these records put names and faces and dates to these people. They're not just, oh, you know, murdered in the Holocaust. They're not just 6 million people. They're individual people. And I feel like this work, it feels important to me to do whatever I can to give these people back their dignity and their names and their identities.
Jennifer, thank you for telling us about it.
Thank you for having me.
Jennifer Mendelsohn is co-founder with Dr. Adina Newman of the DNA Reunion Project at the Center for Jewish History. She'll be talking about it on Sunday at 2 p.m. at the Bolton Street Synagogue. We've got more information at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. Short break on the record. When we're back, a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.